Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 12th, 2022, 1 John.
All right, we have a few things here before we get started. First of all, Clay and Ryan Roskins, if I could see you two fellas after class, boy, are you guys in trouble. No, if I could just a short minute or two after class, that'd be great. After Sherry gets done vacuuming. And if she isn't done, then you guys take over and do the vacuuming in there. It'll be done. She's already got the vacuum cleaner in there already. I thought she was going to do it before class. This gal, I see her. Choo, 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 choo. And then I dream about, boy, I remember when I used to be able to do that. Two birthdays. One today, Daria, it's her birthday today. Gresha, it's her birthday tomorrow. Come in, ladies. All right, you get to lead the first song. Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. You know that one? One of our favorites here. So Daria's birthday is today, Gresha's birthday is tomorrow, and Brian Hervis today is a United States citizen. Today. He's not here, he passed out. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. And SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John chapter 3, let's note the corrected translation starting at verse 1. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father, God the Father, has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. And therefore, the world, that is the people living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us. Us being believers living the spiritual life. Because they did not understand Him, Jesus Christ. Beloved, now we are the children of God, students under the authority and training of God, and what we will be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when He appears, the rapture, we shall be like Him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see Him just as He is. Verse 3. And everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. The whole purpose of verse 3 is to predicate that Jesus Christ is pure. This emphasizes the impeccability of our Lord's humanity living the unique spiritual life. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first member of true humanity who lived this unique spiritual life. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is our role model. And the unique spiritual life has been passed on to us, the royal family of God of the church age. And therefore, we are mandated to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, grace, righteousness, and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. For the church age believer, the only purity in life is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. When you are living in Satan's cosmic system, the cosmic system has no virtue. It has no purity. As a result of the filling of the Spirit and consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, your soul and heart is in a state of purity and virtue. The spiritually mature believer has purity of motivation, purity of priority, purity of grace, righteousness, virtue, honor, integrity. Your decisions are not based on self-centeredness and arrogance. Rather, your decisions are based on the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself just as that unique person, Jesus Christ, is pure. And that brought us to a study of the impeccability of Jesus Christ, and we almost finished it, but not quite. We noted, first of all, in the doctrine of the impeccability of Jesus Christ, definition. Impeccability is the status quo of the human nature of Jesus Christ in the dispensation of the hypostatic union, starting with His virgin birth and going on forever. During the entire course of the dispensation of the hypostatic union and forever, our Lord Jesus Christ did not sin, not one sin. though he was tempted in his humanity, and the temptations were very, very real, and greater than any temptations that you or I will ever face. This doctrine is described by two Latin phrases, non posse peccare, posse non peccare. The first phrase, non posse peccare, known not, posse able, peccare to sin, not able to sin, that refers to the deity of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, during his first advent, was non posse peccare. He was not able to sin in his deity. Jesus Christ, in his undiminished deity, is not able to sin or solicit to sin or to compromise with sin or have anything to do with sin, except he was imputed with our sins on the cross and judged for them. The second phrase, posse non peccare, posse able, known not, peccare to sin, able not to sin, refers to the humanity of our Lord during the prototype spiritual life of the hypostatic union and then on forever. He is posse non peccare, able not to sin in his true humanity. He resisted every temptation given to him, and those temptations were very real, and he remained absolutely perfect, sinless perfection. So the humanity of Christ was temptable, but impeccable. The humanity of Christ was temptable, but able not to sin. The deity of Christ was neither temptable nor peccable. And Christ in his hypostatic union was therefore temptable but impeccable. The temptations were real, but our Lord, as true humanity, was able not to sin, and as God, he could not sin. And therefore the union of undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever guaranteed the status quo of both known posse peccare and posse non peccare, that the deity of Christ was not able to sin and the humanity of Christ was able not to sin. God the Father is the one who invented the prototype spiritual life to sustain the humanity of Christ during the incarnation. The original prototype spiritual life was the original Christmas gift from God the Father to God the Son on that first Christmas day of the virgin birth. And then point two, we studied four great principles of impeccability. When all the sins of the human race were imputed to Christ and judged on the cross, our Lord, while he was on that cross, retained his impeccability. He did not sin one time, as all of our sins, billions and billions of sins of humanity, were imputed to him by God the Father and then judged in him in that 3 hours of darkness from 12 noon to 3 p.m. And our Lord retained his sinless perfection through all of that. The substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross would not have been an efficacious sacrifice unless our Lord remained perfect during the entire time he was being judged for the sins of the world. He remained impeccable while bearing our sins. The doctrine of impeccability not only includes the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, but also the fact that our Lord's humanity resisted real temptations through the filling of the Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. In addition to the filling of the Spirit from the moment of his birth, the virgin birth, the problem-solving devices of personal love for God the Father, which motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, and self-contained happiness, plus H, from maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, were used constantly by the humanity of Christ on the cross. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. And then point 3, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to our Lord Jesus Christ inside the prototype spiritual life. This ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the humanity of Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3, Isaiah 42, verse 1, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. In fact, one of the great subjects in Isaiah's prophecies regarding the Messiah is our Lord's function in the prototype spiritual life and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to him. This ministry of the Holy Spirit was the same enabling power as we have in the operational type spiritual life in the church age. Now remember, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It did not prophesy anything about the church age because it was a mystery. He prophesied about our Lord, but he didn't live in the church age. He lived in the age of Israel. The provision of the prototype spiritual life means that the Holy Spirit was given without measure to the incarnate Christ, John 3:34. And therefore, inside the prototype spiritual life, the Holy Spirit provided enabling power for the humanity of Christ during his earthly ministry, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. The important point of all of this is that the Lord Jesus Christ did not rely upon his deity. He voluntarily refused to use his own deity to sustain himself. This is the true doctrine of kenosis, Philippians 2, 5 through 9. The true doctrine of kenosis, from the Greek verb kanao, that's the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes in order to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ chose voluntarily the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out that incarnation plan. In his true humanity, he lived the spiritual life by the power of the filling of the Spirit and by the power of Bible doctrine that he had to learn, just like you have to learn and I have to learn. He grew up in Bible doctrine and advanced to maturity very quickly. And that power of the Word of God in his heart and the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, is how he lived his life in his true humanity. Our Lord was guided by the Holy Spirit in the prototype spiritual life out into the desert in order that he might be tested in a way that none of us could ever be tested. Tested by the devil in evidence testing, Matthew 4, verse 1. That brings us to point 4. Point 4 in the doctrine of impeccability, the purity factor inside the spiritual life. The purity factor inside the spiritual life. This is our verse, 1 John 3, 3. And everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. In his humanity, inside the spiritual life, Christ was posse non peccari, not able to sin. In his deity, Jesus Christ was non posse peccari, not able to sin. So, one. In his hypostatic union, Christ was temptable, but pure. In his hypostatic union, Jesus Christ was temptable, but pure. He was tempted again and again and again and again. But every time he said no, Jesus Christ every time said no to the temptations from his human volition inside the spiritual life. So in his hypostatic union, Christ was temptable. He had temptation upon temptation upon temptation to sin. And he always said no to temptation from his human volition inside the spiritual life. Two, his impeccability is the purity of 1 John 3:3, our verse. His impeccability is the purity of 1 John 3:3, our verse. Three, the church age believer keeps on purifying himself by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That same spiritual life that Jesus Christ lived in his true humanity has been passed on to every single one of us. And why was it given to us? Why do we need it? Because we live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. For the first time in human history, the attack is not on the line of Christ. The attack is not on Jesus Christ himself. Now the attack is on every single believer in the church age, the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the chair of victory. And now the angelic conflict has shifted gears. And for the first time ever in human history, you're the target. You're the target. Everyone in here, you're the target. And therefore, so that we don't become casualties in this intensified stage of the angelic conflict, God has given us this same spiritual life that he gave to Jesus Christ. So the church age believer keeps on purifying himself by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. For the church age believer can only maintain purity inside the spiritual life, living the unique spiritual life that God has given to us. Church age believer can only maintain purity inside this spiritual life. Five, there is no purity outside of the spiritual life. There is no purity in Satan's cosmic system. There is no purity outside the spiritual life. There is no purity inside Satan's cosmic system. And once the believer yields to temptation from his own free will, that decision to yield is made outside the spiritual life where there is no purity or virtue. When you say yes to temptation to sin, that places you into Satan's cosmic system. In cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, where the believer grieves the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and in cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred, where the believer quenches the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. But there's no spiritual life. There's no filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. There is no living by the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, or Galatians 5:16. So, point six, therefore, all purity is related to the positive ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit or being empowered by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit, and Galatians 5:16, keep on living your life by the agency of the Spirit. So all purity is related to the positive ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The cosmic system is the negative. Now you're grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and you have no power to live the spiritual life. Seven, all the way from the virgin birth to the cross, the resurrection, ascension, and session, The humanity of our Lord functioned inside the prototype spiritual life, the place of purity, the place of virtue, honor, integrity. He lived in his very own palace. So all the way from the virgin birth, that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, God became true humanity. From the virgin birth to the cross, Operation Grace, that's why he came. Why did the eternal Son of God come and take on true humanity? He came to die. He came to go to a cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, to carry out God's plan of salvation, Operation Grace. So all the way from the virgin birth to the cross, resurrection, ascension, and session, the humanity of our Lord functioned inside the prototype spiritual life. That is the place of purity and virtue. 8, inside the spiritual life is purity, as long as one remains inside the spiritual life. And as long as one remains inside the spiritual life, the purity factor remains in status quo. So that brings us to point 5, conclusion. Conclusion. 1, because of his essence as deity. And in his essence as deity, he was absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue. Because of his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, Christ, being God, could not sin. Because of his divine attributes of absolute righteousness and perfect justice, Christ, being God, could not sin. 2, because his humanity resided permanently inside the spiritual life from the moment of his birth, and because he never chose to convert temptation into sin, Christ was able not to sin in his true humanity. Because his humanity resided permanently inside the spiritual life, all the way from virgin birth on forever, and because he never chose to convert temptation into sin, Christ was able not to sin in his true humanity. 3, just as an unconquerable city can be attacked but not taken, just as an unconquerable city can be attacked but not taken, so Christ could be tempted but could not sin. Just as an unconquerable city can be attacked but not taken, so Christ could be tempted but could not sin. 4, this qualified our Lord to go to the cross, to be imputed with the sins of the whole world. They weren't his sins. He was sinless perfection. And that impeccability and sinless perfection qualified our Lord to go to the cross, Operation Grace, be imputed with the world's sins, and judged for our sins, thus providing salvation for all who believe in him. And God's desire is for everyone to be saved. God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. That's God's desire. That's what he would love to see. He would love to see every single member of the human race place their faith in Jesus Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So once again, 1 John 3, verse 3. And everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. Now we come to the principle of verse 4 that personal sin is lawlessness. Personal sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3, verse 4 starts out with, whosoever committeth sin. Let's see, that would be just about everybody in here. Whosoever committeth sin. This is pos plus the articular present active participle of poieo plus the accusative singular of hamartia with the definite article. Pos means all or every. And then the verb poieo. By the way, I know you all appreciate this. No, I did not do this. This would take a miracle for me to be able to do this. I did not do this. This, you didn't know that this is a spiritual gift, did you? Dave has the spiritual gift. I just watch how he starts out and creating this and building it and building it and building it. And then I sit there and go, gee, it's a good thing he's here, because if I was here, it would be, happy birthday, Dar and Gresh. And I don't think anybody would get your camera out and take a picture of that one. Fumble. Oh, that could be expensive when you lose those things, you know. It's a good thing you're married to a very rich guy. Poieo, P-O-I-E, long O, poieo. Now, poieo means, basically it means to do. That's the most general meaning possible, to do. It also can mean to commit. And it can also mean to be guilty of. And we're going to translate this, commit. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. So you translate it, everyone who does, or everyone who commits, or everyone who is guilty of. And what are you guilty of? Hamartia. And this is the principle of sin, the principle of personal sin. Everyone, every believer who commits sin, transgresseth also the law. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active indicative of poieo again, plus the accusative singular of anomia with the definite article. Chi here is an adjunctive chi. K-A-I. This is adjunctive. The adjunctive chi is translated also. And then the verb poieo is repeated, to do, to commit, to be guilty of. And then we have anomia. Anomia. That's A-N-O-M-I-A. Now, anomia is a compound word. This is the alpha privative. The alpha privative means no or not, and nomos is law. So, Anomia means literally no law. What did I do with it? Hey, Anomia, everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of no law means, I must have had it on this page, yep. No law or lawlessness. Everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Okay. So let's get a couple of things on anomia. One, anomia is a compound word made up of alpha privative no plus nomos law. The alpha privative no, nomos law. Two, it literally means no law. Anomia means no law, literally. Three, when the believer commits personal sin, it takes him out of his spiritual life and puts him into Satan's cosmic system. When the believer commits personal sin, it takes him out of his spiritual life and puts him into Satan's cosmic system. Four. Am I going too slow? Four. In the cosmic system, there is no law against sin. Satan's all for it. In the cosmic system, there is no law against sin. Five, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon. By the way, when I say Arndt and Gingrich, you don't have to spell Arndt, A-R-N-D-T, Gingrich, G-I-N-G-R-I-C-H. Just put A and G. A and G, if you put anything at all. A and G stand for Arndt and Gingrich. On page 71 tells us that anomia means lawlessness. Arndt and Gingrich, page 71, anomia means lawlessness. Six, the believer living in the cosmic system is living in lawlessness. The believer living in the cosmic system is living in lawlessness. Seven, he commits lawlessness. He is guilty of lawless deeds. So the corrected translation says, everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. So poyao the first time, translated commits, and the second time translated is guilty of, both of those translations. So the first time, everyone, every believer who poyaos sin, commits sin, he is also poyao, guilty of lawlessness. And then it says, for sin is the transgression of the law. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular of hamartia with the definite article plus the present active indicative of ami plus the nominative singular of anomia with the definite article. This time the conjunction chi is what's known as an emphatic chi. K-A-I, emphatic chi. And one of the translations for the emphatic chi is in fact. And that's how we'll translate it. In fact, hey, hamartia, the sin, personal sin, ami, to be, is the to be verb is, and hey, anomia, lawlessness. So the corrected translation, everyone, every believer who commits sin, poyao sin, he also, poyao, is guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. All right, one. Lawlessness is the believer choosing from his own free will to live outside of the spiritual life. You have a volition. You have a free will. We were given this volition and free will just as the angels were given volition and free will. The angels could choose for God or against God. And that's your elect angels chose for God. The fallen angels chose against Him. Satan led the revolution. One third of the angelic realm joined Satan in the revolution against God. So there are holy elect angels and there are fallen angels. They had a volition. They could choose for God or against God. God judged Satan and created the lake of fire for Satan and his angels. He appealed that and said, that's not fair. So God says, all right, I'll create a creature way, way, way lower than the angels called man. But I'll give him a free will. And if he chooses for me, you're guilty and indicted and you will be in the lake of fire forever and ever. So he gave each one of us a free will. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus Christ, in unlimited atonement, paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Everyone is savable. But we have a free will, just as the angels had. We can choose to believe in Jesus Christ. We can choose to reject Jesus Christ. For those who choose to believe in Him, the gift of eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, and blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For those who reject Jesus Christ, eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire, along with Satan and all the fallen angels. So lawlessness is the believer choosing from his own volition to live outside of the spiritual life. Two, lawlessness is the believer choosing to live his life inside Satan's cosmic system. Lawlessness is the believer choosing to live his life inside Satan's cosmic system. And you see it? Look at where we live today. Where the United States of America is the clan nation to God. And as a client nation to God, we have tremendous responsibilities. And this nation has turned away from God and away from the Word of God. And we are coming under the five cycles of national discipline. And this means things are going to get a lot worse in America. They're going to get a lot worse here. The ruler of this world, Satan, is a deceiver of the nations, and he's deceiving America. And now many in America view you and me as the enemy. Christians who believe in the living and true God, Jesus Christ, for eternal salvation, and that He's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. All religions don't lead to heaven. There's only one Savior. There's only one Savior who solved mankind's problem of sin. But if you say that today in America, you're the enemy. You're not inclusive. You need to include everybody. You need to include all the religions. And the Bible defines what sin is. And defines what the divine institutions are, what marriage is. And we are the enemy because we say marriage is between, as God invented it, one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women, but one man and one woman. Today, homosexuality and lesbianism, if you say that's a sin, you are the enemy. So here we are, holding to the truth of God and the Word of God. And right now in America, we are the enemy. And there will be great national judgment coming on our nation. So lawlessness is the believer choosing to live his life inside Satan's cosmic system. Three, the believer choosing to live his life inside Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, becomes an antichrist believer. An antichrist believer. Turn over to 1 John 2. We studied this in 1 John 2, verses 18 and 19. 1 John 2, 18 and 19. John begins in verse 18. He says, children, that is students, it is the last hour. Now, what's the last hour? From the first advent of Jesus Christ to the second advent of Jesus Christ. A very unique period of time from the first advent to the second advent. That's the last hour. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming in the tribulation, even now in the church age, many antichrists, many believers living in the cosmic system exist. From this fact, we have come to know that it is the last hour. They, these antichrist believers, they went out from us. They separated from us. But they were really not a part of us. For if they had been part of us, then they would have remained and stayed with us. Second class condition, but they were not a part of us, so they did not stay, remain with us. But they reacted and separated from us for the purpose of being exposed and shown that none of them were really a part of us. 1 John 2, 18 and 19. So, again, point three. The believer choosing to live his life inside Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, becomes an antichrist believer. 1 John 2, 18 and 19. Four. You wind up imitating the Antichrist of the tribulation, who has a special title, the man of lawlessness. You wind up imitating the Antichrist of the tribulation, who has a special title, the man of lawlessness. Five, the Antichrist of the tribulation is the man of lawlessness, totally controlled and living his life in Satan's cosmic system. The Antichrist of the tribulation is the man of lawlessness, and he is totally controlled and lives his life in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. We'll start at verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day, the day of the Lord and the tribulation, which includes the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, that won't come until the rebellion occurs. This word, it means the rebellion, the apostasy, the departure, the rapture. The rapture, for it includes great, there will be great, great apostasy right before the rapture. And we're witnessing that worldwide apostasy. We're an apostate client nation to God, getting into greater and greater apostasy daily. And that will be, there'll be great apostasy before the departure, the rapture takes place. But there won't be any tribulation till the rapture takes place first. And then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the Antichrist, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. And then look over at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. So the Antichrist of the tribulation is the man of lawlessness, and he is totally controlled by Satan's cosmic system. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, 6. The old sin nature is the source of temptation, but human volition is the source of sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you, from your own free will, say, yes, I want to do that, and you do it. Every time you sin, it's because you chose to do it. You wanted to do it. Whether you knew it was a sin or not, you chose from your free will to do it. Make sure you understand. Don't get caught up in fundamental Christianity, stupid doctrines. And that, when I was at Dallas Seminary, one of the most stupid things I ever heard at Dallas Seminary was, when you look the first time, that's temptation. When you look the second time, that's sin. Well, it didn't take us very long to figure out, well, I'm just going to look once for a long, long, long time. I know that's a fundamentalism. Stupid. It isn't how many times you look or how long you look. It's your free will. It's when from your free will you say, I want to do that, so you do it. Don't ever sit there and say, well, it wasn't my fault. The devil made me do it. No, you did it. First of all, the devil wouldn't mess with 99% of Christians anyway. They're already in his system. So the old sin nature is the source of temptation, but human volition is the source of sin. 7. The old sin nature can tempt, but that's all he can do. He can provide temptation. Temptation to sin, temptation for human good, temptation for evil. 8. But the old sin nature cannot succeed apart from the free will of the individual soul. The old sin nature cannot succeed apart from the volition of the soul. 9. The volition of the soul guards the gate of the soul from the old sin nature's temptations. Now I'm going to really try to do my best artwork here. I know, it's not very good. Here's the gate. Here's your body down here. And the body, in the cell structure of the body, is the old sin nature, old sin nature, old sin nature. And the old sin nature is constantly sending up temptations, but it comes to the gate of the soul. And all you have to do from your free will is just say no. And you continue living your spiritual life. All you have to do is say no. The temptation comes, you say no. We have temptations all the time. Temptation is not a sin. You don't rebound temptation. It's a temptation. All you have to do is say no. Now, on the other hand, you say yes. Well, now it comes right through to your soul. Now the old sin nature takes control of your soul. You're no longer filled with the Spirit. Now you're grieving the Spirit. No more filling of the Spirit. Now the old sin nature is in charge. This is Satan's inside agent. Now you're in the cosmic system. Now you're in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So the volition of the soul guards the gate of the soul from old sin nature's temptations. 10. Therefore, no one ever sins and enters into Satan's cosmic system apart from the function of his own volition. No one ever sins and enters into Satan's cosmic system apart from the function of his own volition. You don't go pointing your fingers at other people and say it was their fault or their fault. No, point the finger where it belongs. It's your own free will, your volition. Whether sins of ignorance or sins of cognizance, the believer's volition is involved in every sin, and therefore ignorance is no excuse. 11. While the old sin nature is located in the body, it must penetrate the soul for sin to be produced. While the old sin nature is located in the body, it must penetrate the soul for sin to be produced. And this cannot be done without your volition saying yes to the temptation. Now we got a lot of words in our vocabulary. I don't know if you all are familiar with it. There's this thing called Wordle. Wordle. Are any of you doing Wordle? Deb and I do Wordle every morning. What's that? Wordle? W-O-R-D-L. It's not a word, but anyway, Wordle. And five, it's all the words are five letters. I'm not even going to. You five letters for each word, and you put in I do the starting word every day. I go through the alphabet and pick a word from each letter. Today was, I have my Z word, zesty. And zesty had one letter in the word that they had, the S. Thank you. It was in the wrong place, but anyway. It was. And then Debbie picks the second word, and then I pick one. But you got only six chances, and if you don't do it in six chances, the computer blows up. No. So, three times we got it in two. Not the first, but the second one. About 24 times we got it in three. About 28 times we got it in four. About 26 times we got it in five. And three times we got it in six. and two times we flunked. But they cheated. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. The most important word you can have in your vocabulary is no. You gals that are single, the most important word you can have is no. You go out on a date and the idiot you're with has learned all these phrases, I love you. If somebody says that to you when you go out on a date, right then, red flags ought to go up and you ought to say, excuse me, let me out. How are you going to get home? I brought bus money. I'm going to get home. No. Learn to say no. No. Say no to the temptations of the sin nature. 12. When you say yes to the old sin nature's temptation and sin, the old sin nature not only controls your soul, but the believer also comes under the control of the cosmic system. So when you say yes to the old sin nature's temptation and sin, the old sin nature not only controls your soul, but the believer also comes under the control of the cosmic system. 13. Therefore, the old sin nature is Satan's inside agent, recruiting for the cosmic system. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent. Goes around with you everywhere you go, recruiting for the cosmic system. 14. Therefore, the believer is only pure and free from sin when he's living the spiritual life. The believer is only pure and free from sin when he's living the spiritual life. That's why we have this section here. 1 John 3, 3 and 4. And everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Just as that unique person, Jesus Christ, is pure. Verse 4. Everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. All right? With our head bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.